I want to read to you, please, from the book of Genesis, chapter 19. Book of Genesis, and chapter 19. Chapter 19 and the verse number 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Verse 21. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, chapter 45. The 45th chapter of the same book. Verse 7. And God sent me to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Now look at the end of the chapter, please. Genesis 45, verse 26, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Now the New Testament, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. And just those lovely verses, verse 5, Luke's Gospel 19 and verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. May the Lord bless, and that richly, the reading of his holy word. In a little town in the north of Ireland, by the name of Dungannon, a visitor arrived one Lord's Day morning. And as he was walking to the assembly with a local brother, the church bells were ringing. That's common in our land. And as they drew near to the hall, the stranger noticed a change in the timing of the bells. They began to ring a little faster, and it was sufficiently noticeable for the stranger to ask the local brother, what means, he says, the change in the timing of the bells? And the local brother said, those are what we call in Dungannon the hurry-up bells. The hurry-up bells. He said, they have only 5 minutes to get in. And you know, dear friend, I believe with all my heart that when we think of what we've been singing about tonight, the gospel bells that are ringing, God surely, in the circumstances and in the conditions and in the various events of this world, God is surely ringing his hurry up bell. When it comes, dear friend, to salvation, when it comes to the matter of you entering in through the open door and securing, as we sung, God's salvation by faith, it might be urgent for me to say, there is but 5 minutes left. What we mean by that is this. The time is fast passing. Your soul is at stake. And tonight, dear friend, the door may shut. We were reminded, and I quoted it tonight, of those solemn words. Ere night, that gate may shut and seal thy doom. Then the last low long cry, no room, no room. And I have read 3 majestic passages from the Bible, from God's Word, that carry a very simple word, and yet a word of urgency. And I have read to you 3 times in the Word of God, specifically, where the little word haste is used. Haste. And you will sense the urgency that that word carries. And you will sense that it's propelling me and motivating me to increase the urgency in the message. that you might realize God is ringing his hurry-up bell and telling you time is fast passing. In Genesis 45, Joseph uses the words to his brethren. And he says, haste ye. Haste ye. And he says, haste ye up to my father and tell him. And he gives us exactly what he wants his brethren to say. For you know, Joseph announces to these men in this lovely chapter not only something of himself and his glory and his greatness, but he announces to these men what God had wrought through him. And you know what he calls it, dear friend? I hope you listened to it as I read it, and I trust I emphasized it for you to see it. Do you know what Joseph calls the mighty work that God wrought? He calls it a great deliverance. A great deliverance. I don't think I could find a better expression by which to describe the greater work that God has done through what we may reverently call his heavenly Joseph, his well-beloved son. For God calls it by the same name, by the same description, and he calls it a great salvation. A great salvation. And Joseph was insistent that there be no delay, that they haste to his father, who is in need, that he may be quickly brought into the personal good of the mighty deliverance that God had wrought through his son, Joseph. I'm speaking of Jacob. And you know, dear friend, the urgent message for you tonight is this, that God has provided in the richness of his marvelous grace a salvation that can be adequately described as a great deliverance. Could there be anything greater in this world, dear friend, than to be rescued from the pit of hell? Could there? Could there? I can't see anything greater, friend. To think that those in the gospel meeting tonight have been snatched as brands from the burning. To think, dear friend, that God has put forth the might of his power and has ransomed us by the precious blood of Christ, there couldn't be anything greater. To think, blessed be his name, that he has reconciled us to God by the death of his son. Friend, it's a great deliverance to be delivered from the enmity that's in the sinner's heart against the holy, loving God, and to find you can call him Father every moment of every day through faith in his Son. Great deliverance, friend. And then to think that not only have I been rescued from the pit of hell, not only have I been ransomed by precious blood, not only have I been reconciled to God by the death of his son, but bless his name, I have been brought into an eternal relationship with him. That I'm his child. I'm his child. What a deliverance, friend. We were once on our path downward to eternal destruction. Our souls at enmity against the living God, without an ability or a capability to do anything whereby we could rescue ourselves from eternal damnation. And we were delivered, friend. We were delivered. a great deliverance. No wonder Joseph wanted longingly and urgently that his father come down and enter into the blessing. You listen. He says, God sent me before you to preserve your lives and your posterity by great deliverance. And you know, I can see him doing, and you can see it in his heart at least. He's wanting to tell these men. Man, he says, listen, brethren, if only you saw the resources that God has stored away back there for you and all that would come. He tells them there's a great abundance. And then he says, listen, there are yet 5 years of famine. 5 years. My man, I want to tell you tonight, before you is a long eternity. Before you is a long eternity. And you're going to need something for eternity. And I thank God that this great deliverance is not only marked by great abundance, but thank God it's marked by great permanence. For listen, throughout eternity it's going to last forever and ever and ever. There's never going to come a moment in eternity's ages when salvation is going to run dry, when it's going to cease, when it's going to be terminated by something. My dear friend, it's a great permanence, for it's a great deliverance, and there's a great abundance stored, dear friend, in the heart of God for the soul that has trusted him. It hath not been seen by the eye, says the apostle, quoting from the psalm and from the prophet. Neither hath it entered into the heart of man what the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. What a storehouse of grace. What a bounteous supply, dear friend. Salvation brings the soul into the moment that soul trusts the living, loving, lifting Christ of Calvary. And Joseph says, don't delay. Tarry not. Bring my father down and tell him of my glory. The message came to Joseph, to Jacob. And the Bible makes it clear that he believed not. He believed not. He just found it incomprehensible to change his opinion and to alter his mind, because you know what he firmly believed? He firmly believed that his son Joseph was dead. Sad to say. And the same brethren that are now telling him this message were the same men that told him the story some years before that this Joseph was dead. You know, friend, we have a message to tell you that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried. But listen, he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and there's the message upon the lips of the brethren to Jacob was, Joseph is alive. Joseph is alive. And our gospel message, God's message to you, the Acts of the Apostles, he's alive. The one whom you crucified on the tree. The one whom you slew. The one whom you hung upon the tree and chose instead of a thief. He said he's alive. But Jacob found it almost impossible to believe. And then, I suppose those brethren, those sons of his and brethren of Joseph, maybe brought him to the window, if there was such a thing, and bade him look out. I know what he saw for him. He saw great assurance. A great assurance. My, he saw something he had never seen before. What did he see? He saw the provision that Joseph had made for him. And it says, Israel said, not Jacob, Israel, the man of faith. What did he say? He says, I will go. I will go. Friend, this is what we have tried to do each night. I know we have failed because we are only mortal. We have tried to tell you, look, get past our words. Get past the preacher. And in faith, friend, get to the Word of God. And see the assurance with your own eyes that God gives to the trusting soul. And rest upon the Word of God. And find your assurance in what God has provided in His Word. That's just exactly what I see Israel, Jacob doing when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him. He was fully assured that the message he heard was real. And you know, friend, I want to tell you something. There's nothing so rejoicing. There is nothing so blessed. There is nothing so great than to know from the Word of God, my soul is saved. I'm telling you. And I'm ready for heaven. And the precious blood of Christ cleanseth from all sin. And come what may, heaven is my home. Oh, friend, tonight, what an assurance. I can sleep every night without a twinkle, friend. I put my head on the pillow and I thank God if I never waken till the morning light. If I don't waken in the morning light, it's heaven. Through faith in Christ and through the work of the great deliverance. But listen. You listen, friend. Do you hear what Jacob said? Do you hear what Israel said? Now you wee fellows here are not saved. I'm thinking about you. And you men back there, you ladies, I want you to promise me something. Do you hear what Israel said? He said, I will go and see Joseph before I die. Do you guarantee you'll do that with Christ? You listen? Would you? Would you in the presence of God guarantee, man, in the meeting tonight that you'll trust Christ before you die? To someone who would, do it now. Before you happen to claim on a moment of time. What did that great man say? Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace. Why? For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That was Jacob. In this story, I will go and see Joseph before I die. Oh, friend, if you could decide for Christ tonight. And I want you to do it now. For Joseph says, haste ye. Tarry not. Why? In Genesis 45, friend, it's to salvation. But in Genesis 19, it's from judgment. See? That judgment's about to burst on Sodom and Gomorrah. And heavenly messengers are pressing upon people that are lingering. Lingering. And the verse before I read in verse 17, in verse 16 it says, and he lingered. He was tarrying. He was delaying. And that's what's wrong in the meeting tonight. Friend, I know sin has tied your feet. I know the devil is staying your step. I know, friend, he doesn't want you to be urgent in the matter of salvation, but messengers from heaven said to these people, haste ye, tarry not in all the plain. Why? Judgment's coming, friend. I can't make it any simpler. And I tell you, friend, I hate to say it this way, but listen, if you're ever engulfed in the fiery flame of eternal wrath, kindly man in the meeting tonight, face it, don't blame the preacher. Did he not tell you to flee? Did he not tell you to haste? Did he not tell you to tarry not? Heavenly messengers warned these lingering people because it was urgent. And no sooner, friend, had some of these people moved out, the judgment fell. The cities were consumed in the flame. I love the story of Zacchaeus. We've heard it already from our brother, and I have touched it myself. Just as I close, friend, come to the tree again, will you? The sycamore tree. And see Zacchaeus up there. And see the Savior. Zacchaeus, take your time. My Lord doesn't speak like that. What did the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus says, make haste and come down. For tomorrow. No, God doesn't speak like that. The Lord Jesus said, for today, I must abide at thy house. And you know the glorious thing is this, right? At least here's one man got the message. I love the words. Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received Christ. Why not do that tonight, friend? He's willing to. And the moment you trust him, the moment he'll save you.